Obviously, we as coaches, we try and provide a little bit of a toolkit for the goalkeepers to manage situations. So in every situation, they can pull out the tool that they need. I think it's appropriate to be more of a suggestion rather than an order when you're coaching goalkeepers.
It's on now. Perfect. Are we ready?
Yeah.
Perfect. Hello, guys, and welcome to a new episode of the Gloves Uncut. Yeah. Great start. Got to do it again. Hello, guys, and welcome to a new episode of the Gloves Uncut podcast. We're your host, Alexander Brams, and alongside me is Marcus Sonnen, as always. And today we are joined by Phil Whedon. Welcome, Phil.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you for being on. And Phil, you are currently the goalkeeper coach of Philadelphia Union, and you have your GK1, and you do a lot of stuff, but we're going to hear a little bit about that later. First, we have these four fire questions that we want to ask. So if you're ready, we'll take it away.
Go for it.
All right. So gloves on or gloves off?
Gloves on.
Favorite goalkeeper of all time?
Peter Shilton.
Favorite goalkeeper you have played with or coached?
That's a tough one. I don't want to single anyone out. I've been fortunate to work with a number of top-class goalkeepers.
Great. Most important aspect within goalkeeping?
The psychological component.
The psychological component. Perfect. That's something we've heard before. And why is it, just shortly, why is it so important?
Just for every age group, the ability. I mean, it's an occupational hazard that you're going to concede goals. It's not always going to be flawless and look great. And the sooner we recognize that, the better. And being able to keep a cool temperament throughout all aspects of the goalkeeping environment is critical.
It is very critical indeed. And it's something that is more up to date now that people talk way more about and people are open about. We had a great episode with Richard Lee once where he was very open about his mistakes, and he actually quit his career a bit earlier than he expected because of he wasn't in the perfect mental state.
Yeah, and actually people see, you know, obviously there's a lot of focus now on the psychological side, and people see it as, or it used to be seen as, a weakness if you reached out for help. Now and nowadays it's seen as a strength if you can reach out for help and help manage your the mistakes and the psychological aspect.
Absolutely. It's truly very important. And Phil, I know you coach a lot of different ages. What are some differences in telling a young guy who is pretty good but still struggle? How do you tell him that it's okay to make mistakes, even in training?
I think it's all to do with the environment that you create. You know, I think we have to allow a goalkeeper to explore his or her goalkeeping methods. Obviously, we as coaches, we try and provide a little bit of a toolkit for the goalkeepers to manage situations. So in every situation, they can pull out the tool that they need. I think it's appropriate to be more of a suggestion rather than an order when you're coaching goalkeepers, so that allows them to explore. And as long as you create a positively challenging environment in which they can succeed, but in also where they can explore, I think you open up that door to allow them to deal with mistakes.
Absolutely. And I love that you say that you give suggestions on how to handle things and not orders, because I've tried before where it was kind of like orders, like you have to do this, you have to do that, and not suggestions, as you say. And I think yeah. That's brilliant.
I mean every goal, here's the thing for me, the no two goalkeepers are the same. No two goalkeepers are physically the same. They can't play the game the same way. So you have to this cookie cutter approach to goalkeeping where it should be done this way can't apply, because our bodies don't all move in the same way, and we're gonna make different decisions in the problem solving. So you know, I think as a coach, you need to be able to adapt and adjust.
Absolutely, love that. And for you, what are the attributes of a good goalkeeper that is being coached? How is he to you or she?
Obviously, the goalkeeper has to be technically sound. And at the young ages, it's be technical first. And then if you can't be technical, just make the save. If you're getting paid to stop the ball, that's number one, stop the ball. And number two, be technical if you can. For me, the key attributes of a goalkeeper are decision making, and that is in dealing with situations, but it's also in the selection of the save that you make. So being able to pull, as I said before, being able to pull the right tool from that toolkit at the right time, and then you know, obviously the quickness, agility. Being able to power obviously is part of goalkeeping as well, being able to explode in any direction as needed. So the physical tools are there, but for me the overriding factor and something that distinguishes goalkeepers is their abilities to make decisions.
Absolutely. So that goes well in hand with also the psychological component. Like, you have to be mentally sound and ready and clear-minded whenever you have to make that split second decision. And when a goalkeeper is being coached by you, what do you like? Do you like if they come to you with a lot of questions, and how is their response, and what is your response?
I think as with any coach, you have your own methods and the way you like to do things. You know, when I'm dealing with the professional goalkeeper, we have more of a discussion. Mm-hmm. You know, the way that I coach is, you have to understand what the goalkeeper is seeing and what he or she why he or she made a certain decision or decided to save the ball in a certain way. So for me, we have a lot of discussion within our training sessions at the right time. We don't stop the training session to have a discussion, obviously, but. You know, we have, I'm lucky to deal with a great group of goalkeepers. We have great dialogue. But again, when it's time to push and make things more challenging, I do that as well. With the younger goalkeepers, if you can explain to them why, if you do this, this is the result. If you do this, this is the result. If you can give them a why, which is critical in goalkeeping, knowing the why, I feel like we help develop them in a different way. So I would say with the professional and the older goalkeepers, there's a little bit more discussion. With the younger goalkeepers, it's more of a fun, free-flowing environment where they get to understand the why you do certain things.
Yeah, and that understanding comes in your youth development. I've gone through stages where I didn't know, and then now I know when something happens, I know why it happened. Was it because my weight was backwards? Did I sink too low in a certain situation? I couldn't reach top. Was my set not good enough in that particular situation? Were my hands a little bit off? That's a point where you want to know, a point where you want to get to as a goalkeeper. And that comes within like your youth coaching and having a good knowledgeable coach.
And as a knowledgeable coach, I think you want someone that's going to ask you the questions. So the use of guided discovery. If I do this, what happens? And the goalkeeper gives you the answer. And then, you know, and then you can build on that. And now they get an understanding of why things are so important. So I feel like coaching style, there are many good coaches out there. Coaching style is a massive, massive piece of developing young goalkeepers.
Absolutely. And I think this also goes into one of our other questions. It is how important is the connection between the goalkeeper and the goalkeeper coach?
I mean, that for me is massively important, and it's built on trust, isn't it? So if you have a good relationship with your goalkeeper, he or she then begins to trust you more. They can feel more confident in their themselves in the training sessions, in games, and so on. The number one thing for me is that the goalkeeper must know that you care about them as a person first. You know, too many goalkeeper coaches go out there and it's all about the game and it's all about the training, etc. For me, that there's the human aspect that we must consider, knowing them as people. You know, for example, I have a goalkeeper now that has multiple children, or actually two goalkeepers that have multiple children. How does that affect the way that they come into the environment every day? You know, there are so many things that occur in life, and knowing them as people, I feel, is important. So that humanistic side of it is critical for me, and that also helps to build the trust. And also, quite honestly, being honest with the goalkeeper. So knowing, being able to say to them, because when we get down to the nuts and bolts of it, it's about playing, isn't it? It's about who's going to play and when and how much, and you know, and those are the money decisions. Those are the things that really impact people physically, personally, on many different levels. So being able to be honest with them as well. So trust and honesty are critical in this relationship. The better the relationship you have with the goalkeeper you're working with, the more relaxed and calm they are, the better they perform.
Absolutely. Love to hear that. And that's something I've tried myself, where it was more personal with the coach, where he knew you and knew what was going on. And then also just at a youth level, where he has so many different goalkeepers that he couldn't know everyone in particular. And I would say that the best have been like where you know the guy, kind of like Omar, that I know, you know, that's he knew what was going on, and he was there to help all the way.
Yeah. Now, I'm not suggesting you need to be best friends at all. Like, we're not going to go and hang out and all that kind of thing, but you know, being invested in the person. And even you mentioned the young goalkeepers. Understanding the youth goalkeeper is a major part of coaching. So, for example, I was just in Canada and I was talking to the coaches, and I said, "Well, so what are young goalkeeper all day long? Young goalkeepers are told what?" And I said, "How many parents do we have in the room?" And there are a lot of parents in the room, and all day long, these young goalkeepers are told what to do. Someone's knocking on the bedroom door, "Wake up, put this on, put that, don't, no, you can't wear that. Put this on, put that on, eat now, sleep now." They go through school and they're told repeatedly what to do. So as a goalkeeper coach, knowing that, understanding that, and then you can get to know them a little bit as people by the environment that you create. You're not going to ask them about their personal lives and things like that. That is absolutely not what I'm suggesting, but being able to relate to them is a huge part of goalkeeping and goalkeeper coaching.
Yeah, I think that's spot on. And a thing I keep saying here on the podcast is that one of our previous guests used an example, and some people might think it's taking it to the extreme, but he said that the way he coach is, his coaching style is more being a mentor and not a dictator. So that leads back to a previous quote of yours saying, like, you give suggestions and not orders. Exactly. And when we talk about that, a mentor is obviously not your best friend. As you said, it's one you look up to and to some extent. And at the same time, the mentor is also, a good mentor is someone that cares about who he's mentoring or she's mentoring. And I think that's a very, very important topic as well, because as you said, if you have a goalkeeper coach where he or she tells you to do this, and no, you can't do it this way because that's the wrong way. You can only do it this way. You start questioning the goalkeeper coach, because is he or she really spot on every single time, or can that person also have happened to be wrong once in a while? I think that's important to highlight as well, that not everyone is perfect, and I think it's important also to talk about the specific situations in games and trainings and hear the perspective of the goalkeeper, as well as you mentioned, that what do you think you did wrong in this situation, and then we can talk about how to apply different techniques or how to change it in the future.
Yeah, I mean, for me, one of the things I try and stay away from, quite honestly, is right and wrong. So obviously, if the ball ends up in the back of the net, something has gone wrong. So I try not to get into the right and wrong with goalkeepers. It's more of a consequence. If my, for example, I'm at the near post and it's going to be a cutback situation. It's on my right. So I'm at my right-hand post. It's going to be a cutback situation. And again, we all have different philosophies on the positioning of the feet and the positioning of the body. You know, as that ball came across, was your left shoulder square to the ball or was it slightly open? Oh, it was slightly open. Okay, so if your left shoulder is open, what does that do to your hips? Oh, well, it moves my hips. All right, so now if your hips are open and your shoulder's open, can you make that save there? Oh, no, I can't. All right, so what would happen if you shifted your shoulder? Oh, my hips would be square to the ball. Ah, okay, why don't we try that? You know, for me, when we're coaching, coaching is about provoking thought. So in coaching education, it's not, for me, it's not a right way and a wrong way, just different. So I like to try and provoke thoughts. With the younger goalkeepers, it's the same thing. It's not not right or wrong. And the reason why I say that is, Marcus, because along your goalkeeping journey as a goalkeeper, you're going to have lots of different goalkeeper coaches. And there are no absolutes in goalkeeping. Because, you know, I'm going to suggest one thing to you. Another coach is going to disagree and suggest something else. And as a goalkeeper, you pick what works for you and how your body changes. And now, okay, one morning you wake up and you're 6'6" and you're like, oh my god, I can't even see my toes. So you've got to sort of redevelop how you play the game. And now other things might be better for you that came from another coach. So, you know, we have a coaching journey where we grow as coaches, and players have a playing journey where they take a little bit from every goalkeeper coach to form their own style. So, as I said, I'm very wary of saying right and wrong. The idea for me and whatever I'm doing is to try and provoke thought.
I love that, because I think that's what came to my mind here when you were talking, Phil, was that I think that's the beauty of the position we play, because at the end of the day, there is no right or wrong. I mean, as you said, obviously, if you concede a goal, you've done something wrong. But I think the beauty is that you can always find something to improve on. And no goalkeeper in this world is perfect. There is always something that you can improve. And I think that's a common, obviously, topic in sports in general. But in our position specifically, I think there is a lot of things that you can tweak and adjust, because I remember when Alex and I started this podcast and I had some friends saying, oh, how much can you talk about within goalkeeping? And I think that Alex and I really figured out quite quickly that this podcast can go on for ages. We could talk with you for 24/7. We could, if we didn't keep this episode to 30 minutes, we could talk for the rest of the day. And I think that's something only goalkeepers know, because it's a little community we have, and that's why we again love doing this podcast as well and having guys like you on. And it's just a big passion of ours. So again, we have you on, and I didn't expect this question to go this way, but I'll come back into the question here, saying that we wanted to talk a little bit about the way American goalkeeping is going as well, because we obviously just seen the World Cup, and there's been a lot of talk about American football because of obviously most people in Europe make, like, to be completely honest, to some extent, fun of of American football because of the name of soccer, and I think it's quite funny. But like you proved the point in this World Cup, and we've seen Matt Turner going to Arsenal and being the second choice, and obviously had a great tournament. He came out of college, for the people that didn't know that, which is a big deal over here, and made the pro and then made it to Europe. So from your perspective, obviously been in the game for quite some time now, how do you see American goalkeeping developing in the future, and how has it been so far?
So I would say right now we're in a bit of a crisis in American goalkeeping, and the reason for that is there aren't the depth chart in American goalkeeping seems to be somewhat limited. Seems to be. Now I could be completely wrong. Years ago, if you look back, you had Friedel, you had Keller, you had Howard. I mean, you had Hanneman. You had all these people on the men's side that were playing abroad at a very young age. And it's not there's no coincidence here that it is directly linked, in my opinion, to the goalkeeping education that was going on at the time in the country. So we were producing better goalkeeper coaches. The standard of coaching at the time was pretty good. Therefore, these goalkeepers benefited. Over the course of time, the goalkeeping education has diminished in America, and therefore there are less qualified goalkeeper coaches. So everyone sort of does what they want to do, and that has an effect on the types of goalkeepers that we produce. There was also a time where, and if when you think about the American society and the sports that are played, you know, basketball, baseball, American football, and no one can tell me why this is football still. I don't know why it's called football, but we'll figure that one out. But if all those sports are hand-eye coordination sports, and earlier on in time, there was more multi-sport athletes. So like Tim Howard, if you ever saw Tim Howard play basketball, I mean, unbelievable, absolutely unbelievable. You know, so they would play basketball. You know, on the women's side, you know, Hope Solo at the time was a forward till the age of 15 and banging in goals and everything else. So they were more rounded, well-rounded in what they're doing now in the US because of the demands of academies and everything else. There's less multi-sport goalkeepers, so the pathway has really, really narrowed, I think, where now we're not producing as many at the moment. At the moment, we're not producing as many top quality goalkeepers. Now, what we do have is we have a ton of MLS academies. We have a women's professional league that has been in existence now and is now stable for the most part, and has you know, also has affiliations to the youth game. So we're getting more and more younger goalkeepers coming up through the ranks. And in the MLS game, for example, they're what's called homegrown goalkeepers. So they come through the academy system and they sign a professional contract. So we are seeing more of that. The future, I think, is very bright for American goalkeepers. I think, honestly, and I know Matt Turner, his rise is something that you can't write the script. You know, he didn't even play in college till his third year. And then, as you probably know, he let in an absolute howler, and it was all over TV. And here he is starting in the World Cup. You know, so you know, couldn't be more thrilled for Matt Turner. And it does show promise for the different avenues in which people, young players in America, can make it to the professional ranks. You don't have to play in an academy to make it in Europe. We also have a lot of young goalkeepers that are excuse me, playing their trade in Europe already. They're going to Europe. So I mean, at Leicester and places like that, we've got young American goalkeepers that have gone over at the age of 16, 17, 18. So there's not a lot of them, but hopefully as things continue to progress, we will see more and more of the Matt Turners of the world who do come into fruition maybe a little bit later than you would see in other countries.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, I completely agree. It obviously all start with the youth development, and living in the States for a few years now, I see the development as well. And I think youth football over here is going in the right direction. And I think at the end of the day, it also obviously comes down to the actual league, which is obviously the MLS, and that's growing with a rapid speed as well. And I think that's an important aspect, because obviously when you grow up playing the sport you love, you have these goals and dreams of becoming a pro at the end of the journey. And I guess in the last few years, let's say 20 years ago, there wasn't really a big dream to go to the MLS, because it wasn't really this big league. I would assume that growing up as an American, that you would want to go to Europe, or you would want to play a different sport. To be completely honest, you obviously have the basketball, which is big over here, American football, you have ice hockey, all these different sports where you have a major league, and MLS wasn't that big back then. Now you have the MLS being a growing league, and you have great players from Europe going to the MLS. You have great players, American players playing in the MLS, great goalkeepers. And I think that's an important aspect as well. And you've obviously been, again, in the game for quite some time. How have you seen the MLS grow, and at the time that you've been involved?
So I was in the MLS, first time I was in the MLS was 2000. So yeah, thanks for pointing out that I've been around for a long time. I'm really not that old. But, you know, I was in the MLS in 2000.
That's my bad.
and I was in New York, and we had this young, well, he wasn't young at the time. We had this guy come over from Europe. His name was Lothar Matthäus. Not a stranger, I'm sure. 38, 39 years old in the twilight. I wouldn't even say twilight of his career. His career was like pretty much done. And in the early years of the MLS, so it started in 96. And from those 96, I'd say, to about 2007, it was almost like you're getting the retirees coming over from Europe to play. And it became, you know, to try and get some interest in the sport. Now, I've been in Philadelphia. This is my fourth year in Philadelphia, and now, for example, you're seeing players being signed, you know, 24, 25 year olds being signed from Brazil and from Argentina and Spain and places that some big signings coming in. So now it has turned into a more respected league, as long as we can keep it traditional. So I grown up in England, obviously it's about tradition. I feel like sometimes in the US they try and change things to make it more exciting, or make it more try and challenge the other sports that are out there to make it different. But the game should remain traditional. The game should remain the way that it's played around the world. As long as we can keep that, I think the popularity of the MLS will continue to rise. I mean, I was fortunate enough to be, I was on the losing end, but of the MLS Cup final this year. And that was, sold out stadiums, media coverage from around the world, you know, high profile event. And I feel like we're moving in the right direction with the MLS.
Yeah, super interesting, and commiserations on the MLS Cup loss, but it's part of the game, and it's really tough to lose that. I lost the NCAA D2 National Championship Final, and that was not easy to go through. But again, looking back, it was a great experience, and I'm sure the going all the way for the MLS Cup was a great experience as well.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we had a very good season. The goalkeeper, Andre Blake, is a Jamaican national team goalkeeper. He was goalkeeper of the year. We conceded 26 goals on the season, for the season, which 26 goals out of 34 games is basically unheard of. So, you know, we had a very, very good defense and goalkeeper. Won the conference, won the champ, you know, won the Eastern Conference. So it was quite a ride. But it, again, at the end of the day, win or lose, it comes down to details. It comes down to details in goalkeeping. It comes down to details as a team, as professional players and such. So the people that get the details right often end up on the winning side, don't they? So on that given day, it wasn't our day. So hopefully we get another chance.
Hopefully you do. So for you guys who don't know, he's the goalkeeper coach of Philadelphia Union. I don't know if it was mentioned. And apart from that, you also have GK1 and you're kind of a goalkeeper educator. You do a lot of stuff. And you mentioned this before the pod. So can you talk about GK1 for us and what other goalkeeper stuff you do?
Yeah, so one of my passions is goalkeeping education. And you know, it's fun to go out and work with groups of goalkeepers, young goalkeepers, and try and inspire people to and generate passion in the position. But I feel so strongly about the goalkeeping education that I started actually the International Goalkeeper Coaches Conference in 2016. I'd gone across to Europe and been at one of the conferences in Holland, and I came back, and since there was no goalkeeping education in America, I thought, well, why don't I try that here? And I spoke to Yule Sport, and I spoke to Quick Goal and a few other people, and managed to make it happen. So the system is I bring in top goalkeeper coaches from around the world. Happens once a year in June. So I can get people that are not in season at the time, bring them in, and it's about sharing information. And I try and touch on all different areas of the game with the coaching education. So we have grassroots and youth goalkeeping. We have the women's game. We have the men's game. We have the college game. You know, that's appropriate to the American system, and it's about really trying to inspire the goalkeeper coaches. And I've recently actually been in Grenada, the island of Grenada. I was down there working with their goalkeeper coaches and goalkeepers. I was in Canada this past weekend, and then next weekend I'm in Los Angeles. So you know, it's something that I'm passionate about. And again, it's not that the message isn't right or wrong, it's just to provoke thought. And if we can inspire coaches, if we can provoke thoughts as to the reason why they do things, and not just walking out onto the pitch with a bag of balls and saying, oh, today I think I'm going to work on this and hope it works, or I'm going to watch something on YouTube and I'm going to copy that. The coaching education has to be a major force in this country in order to maximize the potential of the players that we have. I mean, think about the population base in America versus the population in Denmark, or you know, or even England, or wherever. It has to be possible to find top players in the US from the goalkeeping perspective. And my goal is to try and help other people to develop goalkeepers in a positive way.
Yeah, that is really amazing and admirable. And I agree with that massive amount of population size and the great athletes you have both in soccer, but also in American football, basketball, so on. You should be able to, and it sounds like it's the education part that's missing out a little bit, but that's why it's good. You're trying to do that, and there should be more people like you doing that in America. And that's also why we do this podcast, is try to get education out there. And if people listen to our podcast and like it and they learn something from it, we are just happy about it.
Right. And even if they don't like it, that's totally fine. You know, it's again, everyone has an opinion, and you know yourself, in the goalkeeping world, it's cutthroat. People are always going to say, well, what you do is wrong and what you say is wrong. And if that's, but as a coach, and as presented on the podcast, if you know your why, if you know why you're doing something, no one can tell you you're wrong. So it's about sharing information. So I applaud you for doing what you're doing as well.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Mark. And it's about there's no one way to goalkeeping. There is no one book, and it's about being open-minded. And then, as you said a few times now, sharing information. And that's brilliant. Phil, we're coming to an end here, but before we stop this episode, we have a usual question for our first time guest, and that is, what are your favorite gloves and why?
Your sport.
Yeah, I knew it already.
I'll be honest. Like, I remember going all the way back, way back, probably before you were born, when Shilton was wearing your sport and Pat Jennings and Dino Zoff and all these big names. I was too young. I was actually too young at the time, believe it or not. But they were the most prevalent ones out there. I wore Sondico for a while, mm-hmm. but always Yule Sport were the ones that I always wanted. And for a number of years now, I've been thrilled to be sponsored by Yule Sport. Why are they the best gloves? Because they are a goalkeeping manufacturer. They are people that invest in goalkeeping. They're not just putting the same colorway on the back of the glove. Different colorway on the back of the glove, but keeping the same grip. There's always innovation. There's technology and research behind the design of the glove and the grip itself. So that's the reason why. And also, quite honestly, the people at Yule Sport are incredible people. So, there's multiple reasons why I think they're the best, but obviously for me to be sponsored by a brand like Yule Sport, I'm very, very proud.
Yeah, I completely understand. I think that's kind of a goalkeeper's dream, is to be sponsored by them. And we see them well represented at the World Cup, and many, many, many top keepers wear Yule Sport. So amazing. And yeah, Phil, I think that's a wrap. So thank you very much for joining us today, and we hope to see you again in a year or two to do another episode on another interesting nerdy topic like this podcast is.
I appreciate it as well. And hopefully, despite what Marcus says, hopefully I'm not too old to come on next time.
It's a good thing to be experienced.
And to you guys still listening out there, please go follow Gloves On Podcast on your favorite social media, leave a review, and share this with one other goalkeeper for them to keep improving. Catch you on the next episode of Gloves On Podcast.